Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, good afternoon. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean Carey. We will hear from Steve in just a moment. From the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. You can zip us an email. The address is stevejones@wkok.com. We're also on social media. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And you can subscribe to our free podcast once the shows are live on WKOK. We can get them to your smartphone and tablet, so you don't have to do all the searching. We can drop them right to your mobile device. Hit subscribe. Go to where you get your podcasts, iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play, search Steve Jones Show. And you can always access 3 months of previous shows on our homepage at stevejonesshow.com. With you live till 5 here on WKOK. And then we'll have the late day news roundup. Taylor Schultz will be at the anchor desk this afternoon at 5:06. Also, we'll get some Penn State football conversation going with Donnie Collins, friend of the show from Scranton Times Tribune. See how the Penn State players have fared at the NFL scouting combine in Indianapolis as that is wrapping up. So we got Donnie scheduled to join us. And actually, the week is shaping up to be falling into place pretty nicely. Tomorrow, we will have Bucknell men's basketball head coach Nathan Davis join us as the Bison prepare for the Patriot League quarterfinal game at Soyco Pavilion Thursday night at 7. Live coverage will start on Eagle 107 beginning at 6:30. Bucknell will play either Lafayette or Holy Cross in a first-round game tomorrow night in Easton. So winner of that game then will go to Lewisburg on Thursday night. So the main goal, 3 more games at Soyco, so Bucknell can punch their ticket and get the automatic bid to the NCAA men's basketball tournament, which is now less than 2 weeks away when we find out the brackets. That's always a lot of fun. So Nathan Davis will join us tomorrow. We'll also talk sports business on Wednesday. Our great friend Tony Knopp, the CEO of Invite Manager, Spotlight Ticket Management. Now, he'll be with us on Wednesday. And also, yes, Joey Brackets, his annual appearance on the Steve Jones Show. Joe Lenardi, CEO of Bracketology on ESPN. He'll be joining us on Thursday. And, of course, we will wrap up the week on Friday with Steve's brother, Kevin Jones, from up in Connecticut. Well, the Houston Texans have used their franchise tag on defensive end outside linebacker Jadeveon Clowney. The team used the non-exclusive franchise designation. So that means a team can sign Clowney to an offer sheet once free agency begins next week, but they would have to surrender 2 first-round picks if the Texans choose not to match it. The Texans opted to let the first overall pick of the 2014 draft play on his fifth-year option in 2018 at a base salary of $12.3 million. Tiger Woods has withdrawn from this week's Arnold Palmer Invitational. He cites a neck strain that he's had for a couple of weeks. Woods made the announcement earlier today on social media, said that he has been receiving treatment, but it has not improved enough for him to play. Lower back is fine, does not have any long-term concerns with the back, but he hopes to be ready for the Players. Since returning to competition in December of 2017 following a spinal fusion surgery, in April of that year, the 43-year-old Woods has not missed any tournament golf that he was scheduled to play. He competed 18 times on the PGA Tour last year, winning the Tour Championship for his 80th PGA Tour title. Woods has played three times so far in 2019, citing no injury issues during starts at the Farmers, Genesis Open, and the WGC Mexico Championship, where he tied for 10th on February the 24th. San Francisco Giants president and CEO Larry Bear will step away from the team as Major League Baseball investigates an altercation between Bear and his wife, which he knocked her to the ground. The Giants board of directors announced that it accepted Bear's request to take personal time away from the Giants beginning today. Mr. Bear has acknowledged that his behavior was unacceptable. He apologized to the organization and is committed to taking steps to make sure that it never happens again. The board said that the Giants executive team will manage the franchise's day-to-day operations during Bear's absence. The incident between Bear and his wife Pam was caught on video and published on Friday afternoon by TMZ. The couple was fighting over Larry's cell phone. And in college basketball, Gonzaga remained number one after extending the nation's longest winning streak to 20 games. Virginia stayed at number two after winning both of its games last week. The rest of the top 25 is a big jumble of teams trading places. The Bulldogs received 42 of 64 first-place votes in the men's college basketball poll released earlier today after finishing an undefeated run through the West Coast Conference. The Cavaliers had 21 votes. Number 4 Duke, which fell a spot, had the remaining one. North Carolina and Tennessee both moved up two spots to number 3 and number 5. Every other team switched positions, while number 25 Central Florida moved into the poll for the first time in 8 years. Duke was number 1 2 weeks ago, but dropped after Zion Williamson blew out his shoe. The star freshman has missed the past 3 games since injuring his right knee when his left shoe gave out against rival North Carolina within the first 30 seconds of that game. Duke lost to the Tar Heels and then number 20 Virginia Tech before knocking off Miami in a 30-point blowout on Saturday. And next up will be a rematch later this week on Saturday. It'll be a rematch between Duke and North Carolina. And also looking forward to another rematch between Michigan and Michigan State. That'll be on Saturday night. So the final weekend of the regular season in college basketball looking to be very exciting. Penn State will be wrapping up their regular season at the Bryce Jordan Center on Sunday at noon against Illinois. And Ted Lindsay, the Hall of Famer who provided muscle and meanness on the Detroit Red Wings' mighty production line of the 1950s, and also helped pioneer the first National Hockey League Players Union, has passed away at the age of 93. The president of the Ted Lindsay Foundation, which raises money for autism research, says Lindsay, that died in his home earlier today in Michigan. His nickname, Terrible Ted. Lindsay was one of the game's best left wings, a 9-time All-Star who played on 4 Stanley Cup championship teams. Lindsay was a teammate of Gordie Howe. They formed an offensive juggernaut of a line that made Detroit the first of the National Hockey League's great post-war dynasties. So we'll take a quick break here on the Steve Jones Show. Again, we plan to have Donnie Collins join us. Donnie from the Scranton Times Tribune will check in on the Penn State football players as the that are taking part in the scouting combine in Indianapolis as that wraps up. Or maybe we won't take a break. Or do you need to settle in?
Care. Believe me, I can do whatever you want. Yeah, it's
your show.
Oh, I need to settle in.
I can take a break.
Not really. I love that when I hear people. I need time. Time for what?
I got to reset and focus.
I need to whatever. I think number one, the 25-yard outs. Trace McSorley did very, very well on, believe it or not, in his workout. He also ran faster than the other quarterbacks. Interesting. I think Trace, and I respect Trace completely for rejecting the suggestion of, let's work out with the DBs a little bit. How about, like, no? I'm a quarterback. Good for you. I respect that, and I think he showed I think in the end, and it may be spots 46 through 53, but I think Trace is going to be with a team somewhere. Somewhere with a team. Okay? To me, that was important. I think Miles Sanders helped himself tremendously doing what he did. I think Miles has put himself in a much better spot based on the combine. Sharif Miller did a better put himself in a good spot. He did fine. I think Givens is going today. Amani ran a 4.45. Does that sound right? 4.46? That sound right? When you're talking about a corner that has the arm length that Amani does, and you combine that with speed, one of the keys for Amani will be the evaluation of teams and what they think about him instinctively. Are you an instinctive corner? Do you consistently know how to use the boundary? How do you use leverage? I think those will be the areas that when you look at Amani, that they will take a long, hard look at. How about that? With him, I would not doubt he's a second round pick in the end. The guy that didn't work out and only interviewed is obviously the most intriguing guy in the draft, and that is Kyler Murray. So we can have, doesn't really matter about our teams. So what we can do is we can tell you, and I think in the end, the Arizona Cardinals are going to make Kyler Murray the first overall pick of the draft. I think they'll trade Josh Rosen. I think the return they will get for Josh Rosen will be no better than okay. And I think that they will, that's what they're going to do. I think they'll trade Josh Rosen. I think they'll pick Kyler Murray first overall. Now, Murray, of course, didn't work out at all. He'll have his pro day. I want to say, does March 12th sound right?
Kyler Murray, I believe, is March 13th.
March 13th, so that Wednesday.
Yeah.
Penn State's first day of spring practice. I want to say Penn State is March 19th. Is when their pro day is. On that Tuesday. But I think, you can look at all the draft boards you want. I think that in the end, Kyler Murray is going to be the first overall pick in the draft. I think he's going to go to the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona in two areas needs him. A, as a quarterback, and B, I think they need the juice with the fan base. Many years ago, the expansion team was the Phoenix Firebirds. And Bart Starr was one of the ones instrumental in trying to get an expansion team to Arizona. When the Cardinals then moved to Arizona, that, in essence, killed the expansion bid, obviously, of the Phoenix Firebirds. And the Arizona Cardinals set up camp there. The Cardinals made a lot of mistakes in that market. A lot of mistakes in that market. To the point where they set the market back. Yes, they made the Super Bowl. And keep in mind, what is the advice that Larry Fitzgerald just gave to Antonio Brown? Be careful what you wish for. You need to be at a place that has a really good quarterback. If anybody should know, it is Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald has carved out an incredible career, but his best years were when he had a legit quarterback in Kurt Warner or Carson Palmer. The other years, he had to fight for every catch he could possibly get without them. And that was his advice to Antonio Brown. His advice to Antonio Brown was very simple. He wanted to be at a place that has a quarterback. In other words, be very careful about what you wish for, and maybe you shouldn't give the short side to Ben Roethlisberger. Well, this is where it comes back now to the quarterback play. Josh Rosen is okay, but he's okay. He could be in 5 years. He could be a fat. He throws a beautiful ball. There's no getting around that. But there's a reason he kept falling in the draft. And the reason he kept falling in the draft is because a lot of people weren't sure if he could play in the league. And after going through a year and a new coach in Cliff Kingsbury, my thought process is this. Kingsbury is not married to the draft of Josh Rosen. This will be his first draft as the head coach. I think they look at Kyler Murray not only as a quarterback, not only as a guy who can run and move because Arizona has a very good offensive line, but I also believe in the end they feel that he is a great publicity tool in an area that needs it because the population base, it's not a great pro football area. We will now take a break. Because, you know, and I need to gather my thoughts, Sean. And
sure.
You and I both know how important that is for some people.
Yeah.
I don't know where I am. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Jim Delaney announced today that at the end of his current contract in a little less than a year and a half, he will retire. It's not unexpected. I think we all expected that. When Jim signed his last contract and we saw that June 30th, 2020, I think the first thing all of us thought was, okay, 72 years of age, that probably is the end. The person that takes that job will then right out of the gate have to deal with the next television contract negotiation. The TV contract with Fox and the Big Ten, and as well as ESPN and so forth, expires, I want to say, in 2022. 2021, yep. Expires at the end of the 22 season. So by getting the job on July 1st, 2020, that person will have to get to work quickly on what the next television deal might be for the Big Ten. So that's the timing of that. Great to have you with us today on the show. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune, next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. You know, the Purdy's have served this valley for decades. They've been able to find the right insurance for their customers, updating it always, auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. They have found the best price consistently. They're always looking. And if there's a claim, they go to work as if it happened to them. Customer service means everything to them. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Anything interesting today in the staff meeting I should know about?
No, nothing massive today. All went smooth.
So it's the same as all the other ones. All right. Good. In other words, there's one person there who thought their opinion was really important the entire time.
He pretty much behaved himself today. All good today.
Well, it doesn't matter. Still would have been the same nothing anyway. Silent speaking, what's the difference?
First meeting of the month, so don't worry. Things will change.
The end of the month when the pressure's really on.
That's right.
Ratchet like, up. Okay. We aren't practicing free throws anymore. These actually count. Oh, great. We'll get to that game in a little bit. Jim Delaney stepping down, not today, but he announced that, look, when my contract's up on June 30th, 2020, he's going to step aside. That'll be it. Jim Delaney, okay, let's preface it with this. Obviously, when you're in a position of power like Jim Delaney, you will have people go, hey, great, and you're going to have a heavy amount of detractors. You're the big name. You're the big dog, okay? So that person's going to get more detractors than anybody else just based on position. So let's just start out with this. Okay? We all know in this state that the Big Ten in 2012 handled Penn State wrong. We'll leave it at that. Okay? I think that's. Do you need to make much more of a statement than that? Now we put that aside. Let's look at the rest of the body of work. 5.5 months into his tenure as Big Ten commissioner, Penn State is brought into the Big Ten fold in December of 89. They integrate Penn State in. Look at what he's accomplished over the years and the money that each school now makes because of what he's accomplished. He worked so hard to get the BCS just to do that. You know how the BCS was bad. Do you realize how hard it and how much work it took this to get two? And now we're at four. He did not win the battle in having only conference champions be in the four. But it doesn't happen if he doesn't set the table for two to then open the door for four on a national level. Basketball-wise, the expansion to 20 games, which is being done right now, the bringing in the Big Ten basketball tournament in the 90s, the Big Ten football championship game in the 2010s because of the expansion with Nebraska to 12. Expanding the footprint with Rutgers and Maryland to then make more money available for everybody based on footprint. What he did on an NCAA level. And what he did in negotiating TV contracts. And then there's the Big Ten Network. ESPN tried to lowball him in the 2000s. He looked around and said, fine, we'll start our own network. People in Bristol snickered. this is when they thought they were almighty and powerful. Yeah, go ahead, start your own network. He starts BTN. Whoops. He meant it, and he was right. Look what BTN has done. Look what they've done. You're going to be a lot of you out there going to watch and enjoy the Big Ten Wrestling Championship this week, right? Guess what? No BTN, no shot at watching the Big Ten Wrestling Championship. Unless it's on some internet deal. That's what BTN does. That's Jim's. So, yes, there'll be obvious criticism. Look, and he worked hard to get Notre Dame in 99, and he did it the right way. He did it the right way. You're either all in or all out. We are not going to sit here and take everything but football. You're either all in or all out. They're the only conference that had the guts to look at Notre Dame and say, hey, look, this is how we operate. Instead of bending over backwards and going, what do you need? What do you need? We need your name. Big Ten looked around, and he did that. So, yes, we know the 2012 reaction on Penn State. I already covered that. Wrong. Now let's take the greater good, because Penn State's reaping the greater good between the bowl deals he's made, keeping the Big Ten as part of the Rose Bowl rotation, college football playoff, which he helped along the way, the television deals. Last to negotiate, some thought maybe it slipped through their fingers, and he got a better deal than ever out of it. Made it a six-year deal, so the Big Ten will be the first to negotiate the next cycle. All right, with that, we bring in Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Hello, Donnie.
You know, I always wondered why, you know, people would watch the ESPYs, because it'd be like if the Academy Awards had winner of Best Picture, but they got the play to determine who the winner was. They do that year round. So now I got the ESPN telling me one night a year who's the best.
We're going to have a big night. We're going to run out of theater. I'm like, what are we doing here? Come on. Replay the Fiesta Bowl. At least there's something happening. Donnie, let's start with Jim Delaney. 30 years. He was on the job for 5.5 months when they announced that Penn State was going to be joining the conference in 1989. So he's the only one Penn State's ever known. Obviously, the Penn State thing will be one that will stick out to everybody as, boom, put the X through that. But overall, how do you look at his tenure as a Big Ten commissioner?
I mean, you run into people who love Delaney. You run into people who hate him. You run into people who love him and hate him. And
again, anybody in power is going to be that way.
Exactly. Anybody who has any kind of say over anything is going to be that way. But I always look at Delaney in one way. To me, he was an innovator. He expanded the Big Ten when there was, I mean, really nobody in the Big Ten wanted to. It wasn't a pressing matter, but he saw down the road and to expand and get Penn State in there in the early 90s and to make that happen. I think it kind of set the stage for what was going to happen in college football and college athletics in general, you know, moving forward over the next couple of decades. And he's overseen two expansions. And you could argue whether he brought the right teams in a second expansion. But,
well, actually, three because of Nebraska.
Three teams with Nebraska.
Because Nebraska then opened the door to get the Big Ten championship game, which paid for itself because of the money that brought in, because you got to have a championship game.
Absolutely. I mean, he saw that, you know, this is a moneymaker for conferences. Every conference is going to try to do this, and he did that. And I think the expansion thing is what people are going to see. But, you know, he was a major player in replay in the Big Ten, obviously. And you know, it's a Big Ten network. I don't think you could overestimate the importance of that and what it's done for, you know, to kind of pave the way for every other conference and major college athletics. So Delaney, I think you could talk about those guys in sports who's really sneaky. You could talk about them all day and have a million opinions and never really get really to the impact of what he's been able to do.
Well, BTN is a great example. I mean, ESPN lowballed them in the negotiations. He said, well, fine, I'll just start my own network. And, of course, they snickered at him. Well, they aren't snickering anymore. You notice the ante went to $100 million over 10 years, now to $190 over 6. Mm-hmm. From ESPN.
Yeah.
I mean, that's because they can't snicker anymore, because he said, look, I think we'll just do this. And then in Bristol, where they thought they owned television, cable television completely, they found out they didn't.
Yeah. I mean, the Yankees did it in baseball with the YES Network. And a lot of people thought, hey, you know, when the Yankees aren't playing, what are you going to watch on television? what are you going to watch that network for? And people watch the Yes Network all the time.
Yes.
It's one of the big regional sports. Not one of the big. It's the big regional sports network in the country. Everybody wants to have that network available to them on their services. Whoever's delivering your cable wants the Yes Network. And the Big Ten Network is maybe not right there, but pretty close. I mean, I know for a fact, I mean, you go to hotels all over the country for vacation, for work or whatever, and you get the Big Ten Network in places you don't usually consider Big Ten country. And that's a great job by them to kind of, focus on what they on expanding the brand there and getting around the country and showing Ohio State football in Texas. And they do a great job with it. And Delaney was one of those guys. What you said, he was gonna get undervalued on the market by ESPN, and he went out and took a chance, and it was one of those guys who made it work for himself, and now everybody's trying it.
Right. Now, when it comes to the Yes Network, can we at least admit that the Brooklyn Nets are filler?
Oh, the Nets are totally filler. but here's the thing: I've been a Nets fan forever.
Donnie, can we preface this by saying I'm sorry?
they're totally filler, but I'll watch that. But I would dare say this: I'm a Nets fan, and I will watch the Nets games. I think more people than you could ever imagine are watching Yankeeography Andy Pettit. It's amazing how popular that is. You go into a sports bar or a sports restaurant around here. Everyone's got the Yes Network. It was on the other day. I was out after a basketball game, and they got game four of the 1978 World Series on. It's unbelievable. People are tuned into it.
That I believe.
I don't believe it, but it's true.
I mean, that I believe. I mean, I'm sure.
I got to see Don Sutton pitch a complete game.
I'm sure Nesson's doing all sorts of Red Sox programming, although they also have the Bruins. The Bruins are pretty popular, but still. It's amazing. I mean, he was smart enough to understand that this could take off, and you have to. That's because the one area that there's a lot of areas he has a great feel for, and this is one of them, is that he realized how many Big Ten graduates there are across the country and what percentage they make up of the population. By knowing that, you can then sell the Big Ten Network.
Exactly. I mean, the more you get those into the bigger markets, the more you find Big Ten graduates. And I always say this. I mean, I think you can knock Delaney maybe for saying, you go get Rutgers as a gateway to New York.
Right.
Where the two big programs in New York, actually I'll include Syracuse. So the three big programs in New York that people follow are Penn State, Notre Dame, and Syracuse. Well, people are already following Penn State there,
right.
But it was a way to get the network into New York, and that's why I have always looked at that. Not now. Now, people in New York, you can go to a restaurant in Times Square, and chances are they'll have the Big Ten Network, and you can watch the Penn State play Georgia State or whoever early in the season, or Illinois on a Friday night, and there are enough people there who whatever the game is, they're going to pay attention to it, and nobody's going to complain about having that network on there, paying a couple extra bucks a month, and that's because there are a ton of Big Ten alumni around those bigger cities, and it made perfect sense to nobody but the guys in the offices there, and I think he did a really good job of that.
Well, not only that, but if you take a program in New Jersey, and Rutgers is the only one that falls into the category. You know, a lot of people go, Rutgers. Believe me, Rutgers, if you go to other places in the Big Ten, they don't really roll their eyes about Maryland. They don't really roll their eyes. But everybody in the conference has rolled their eyes about Rutgers, except for this part. How many million homes are in New Jersey? Now you've taken the base number that you would get, and you've tripled the number per household because that's what you have to pay if you're in the footprint of the Big Ten. Now it kind of changes the dynamics financially for everybody just by them being there. It's not enough to say that Penn State delivers New York for you. by having a school in that state, you now have all those millions of households paying triple what they would have paid for the Big Ten network.
Exactly, and that's the way people really should look at that, is not from a what does this do for the Big Ten? It's what does this do for the Big Ten network? I would argue of the three teams that they brought in, you know, Nebraska, Maryland, Rutgers. Rutgers is important, maybe more so than anybody to bring in just for the network. And it until, you know, you could roll your eyes at the network, but the network brings in a ton of money.
You know what? If you love, okay, that means every football game's on TV regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless. You don't have to cobble together anything. Every basketball game is on TV. You don't have to cobble together anything. Donnie, you and I both know you go back to the days where Wolf TV, for example, in your area, mm-hmm. would pick up games as a syndicator. It's hard to do it with syndicators. You're constantly trying to get people on board to carry your stuff. Now with your own network, you don't have to do it. So let's take it a step further. Well, now you're going to watch wrestling. Do you think the mm-hmm. Big Ten Wrestling Championship is going to be on TV anywhere if you don't have the Big Ten Network? No.
No.
Absolutely not. Nobody's going to pick it up. Okay? Sorry, but I'm just, let's just talk. I mean, again, you have to be able to tell the truth about this. You just can't, you got to take your, check your biases in at the door. Okay? Big Ten Women's Basketball Championship. Next this week coming up. We can watch every game we want because BTN's there. BTN's done so much for all the other sports because, Donnie, it's put them on there. You can watch soccer. You can watch softball, baseball. They put them all on. Maybe not as many as the fan wants, the diehard fan, but at least they're on sometimes.
No, exactly. I mean, when I was a student there, I went to all the baseball games. Right. The only chance I now have to watch a baseball game is on the Big Ten Network. And I'll watch them all, every one of them. I'll see every time Penn State has a baseball game on the Big Ten Network, I'll watch. That's kind of my connection to my college days, and I think a lot of people feel that way. And I get the consternation over a lot of it, but the Big Ten Wrestling Championships, people are going to be excited to watch that.
Absolutely.
I mean, in our area, and you know this, I mean, you know how big wrestling is in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
That's going to be people are going to go nuts for it. If they can't get to the event, yeah, they're going to go and watch it. And especially now, Penn State is excellent, so they're going to win probably. So people are going to go nuts to watch that. It's to have this stuff available to fans. It doesn't, you don't look at it beyond basketball in the Midwest and football.
That's right.
Everywhere. You have to, because it's just expanding the brand of not only the programs but the universities themselves. I think that the Big Ten Network has been, it's just my humble opinion, obviously, and it means very little because the facts state the same thing. It's been a rousing success, and,
yes.
and to argue otherwise is... It's very short-sighted.
Absolutely. The Big Ten Network has been a huge success to the point where, look, ESPN knows it. They started the SEC Network. Now they're going to start in August the ACC Network.
Mm-hmm.
And the Big Ten's ahead of them on all of this. They've done a great job of getting into markets, covering as many sports as possible. You mentioned the Big Ten Wrestling Championship. Excellent is not quite the word to use for Penn State wrestling. It's got to be a word that's more powerful than even that. But the odd thing is they're trying to win their first Big Ten tournament since 2016.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that. They haven't won the Big Ten tournament since 2016. I mean, now, they still won the national championship, but still. I mean, you're just at least dangling something out there to make it even more interesting. Spring practice will start next week, Donnie. Just some quick reads and thoughts as to what will interest you.
Oh, I mean, quarterback battle, obviously. You want to see those guys. You want to see what Tommy Stevens could do when he's the guy. I mean, he's going to get first team reps. He's going to improve because of that. How much, though? How much is he going to improve as a passer? I think that's really the big thing. But I mean, I want to see those linebackers play. I want to see what this group does. Mm-hmm. And they got a lot of good young talent there. I want to see what they can do and how they improve it at linebacker and how the defensive line is going to help them out and because they have some holes to fill there now. But I think the Big Ten or the excuse me Big Ten still on the network. The blue white game is to me always a more interesting game when you got a quarterback battle, and you haven't had that here in a while. So let's see how that is. I think solely focused on that.
What about the 11 guys, the early entries? What's the interest level you have in some of the early entries that Penn State has that are practicing now?
Yeah, I don't know, because it's still like just to see them it'll be fun. I mean, it was neat, last year with Parsons, everybody was kind of focused on seeing what could he do. But it's you got a couple real practice in, you got a couple of months in the weight room, and it's still so early in the process that who knows what you're going to see. But the running backs are going to be fun.
Yeah,
I think that's a spot where you're going to look and see those guys and say, maybe catch a glimpse of what they've got. I think it'll be linebackers again. They got some, some young guys. So I think it'll be interesting more than it'll be telling to me. I think August you start looking at those guys and say, all right, how have they come along in 8 months? Are they better than what you had? Yada yada yada, but I think right now it's just kind of more fun to see those guys get out there and the real, the crux of what you want to see now is the experienced guys who are getting that first chance to crack the lineup and see what they can do. I always find that side of it a lot more interesting, and the offensive line too. You're gonna replace two really really big players up front for you. How are they going to be able to do that? And I think that's another thing you're going to be able to maybe get a feel for, come middle of April.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.